Om Shanti. And sorry about the here and there sessions. I did say yes because there was a lot of rain, but then it stopped. And I realized that we could not hear so clearly without the microphone. So thank you for coming back. Our first question was, where does this information in the source comes from? The source of knowledge in the Brahma Kumaris. Yes, we have the holy books, we have the, you know, history, the geography. But as I mentioned earlier, that the information in this books, or in fact even history, is never 100%. It's distorted. And so either it goes through the cycle, and the whole meaning of that changes according to our convenience, or interpreted and misinterpreted. But according to this day and age now, when Brahma Baba, the founder, started this organization, it wasn't that he wanted to start another branch to hundreds of religions and faith and add another holy book to so many holy books we have. But according to time, we needed a school, an educational place where we could sit, like-minded people could come, irrespective where we come from, and try to understand, practice, and achieve something. And so, the knowledge or the whole awareness was given to Brahma Baba, and then through him, he became the medium to spread this knowledge to others from God Himself directly. So when Brahma Baba used to sit in meditation, he could connect to God, but God could use his medium and give this knowledge slowly. It was also very surprising for the founder, Brahma Baba, because he had no idea what was happening. And the other thing was what he's been believing for years and years, and the world and the community was understanding it. Can you imagine? It was sometimes very different from it. It wasn't contradicting, but it was something very new. So it was like to create a new world, the whole recipe was new. And so we can't say that the old books, holy books, are wrong. We wouldn't say that. They were very correct for that time, you know? But this is needed for this time. I think those who love cooking could see that in the olden days we had this recipe books with ounces and pints and, you know, the completely different language. And so we have to convert it to liters and, you know, kilos and pounds and all this. And so we wouldn't say those recipes were wrong. But with time, I have to change it to what suits me now. If you go back to the old world atlas, the atlas where, you know, we see the world map, the old one, like 50 years old or something like that, you would see that some countries were identified in a very different manner. The ones which just broke right in front of our eyes, the former Yugoslavia, India and Pakistan, the Falkland, Hong Kong, the China Hong Kong, the British Hong Kong, you know, you could just see But if we relate to the old atlas, we can't say it's wrong. But it was correct for that time. And now we have a different atlas, where former Yugoslavia is divided into 7 little countries, you know, and different names. And so it's correct for this time here. So whether you go to mathematics, whether you go to history, geography, you know, cookery, we have phases and time. Similarly, when we talk about religion and spirituality, according to that time, that was absolutely correct. But now in this day and age, it wouldn't suit and it wouldn't even work. You know, and that's why we receive this whole theory according to this day and age. And as I told you, the source is God the Supreme. Of course, then also it was God who sent a messenger. But what happened was that, let's take an example. I am traveling to your daughter in Canada. You would say, can you please take this personal message for me, for my daughter? And you do inform your daughter, Sister Pratibha is going to come with this message and please receive it and start doing what I am sending it in the message. It's very important. So I arrive there, this person receives me, constant praise, yes, my mother told me that you were coming. Thank you so much that you made time and you came. Thank you for the message. Thank you very much. You are great. You know? But the message is completely neglected. The praise is only for the messenger. See? And in case we did read the message, but we never did it. And in case if we did it, only very few did it, a small percentage. So did you see the strength in the message was there, but we did not use the strength. With time, it started getting diluted. And it stopped working 100%. And then people say, oh, as a child I went to church. As a child I went to the mosque. As a child I went to the temple or the synagogue. But it didn't work, so I've stopped. We understand. Fine, no problem. At least start working on your individual self with this method now and see if it works. But you have to work here. You practically have to work. You can't just sit and praise here. It doesn't work because it's a school. It's not something to convert one another. It is just that we are offering you the whole theory. If it makes sense to you, use it. It's just a tool. And ultimately, after practicing this, it's very interesting. When you practice and you become one, you're exactly connecting to your original faith. Because that's what the faith was telling you. You have baked your cake, but with a different measurement, not the pints and ounces, but with liters and kilos, you see? So you haven't done anything wrong. So that's where the whole theory comes from, or the teachings of the Brahma Kumaris come from. And so it's not man-made messages, it's not just ideas, but it is actually God's message according to the time now. And that message is for all mankind, human beings. But because we are so stuck in our little, you know, boxes of culture and language, like we were just told, Myra, right? Myra was just telling us that here we talk about this, and in Christianity we talk about this. What happens is that, one, we are very stuck into words. We're so stuck into words. The moment somebody says God, oh my God, this is Christianity. I don't want to be converted to Christianity. Or here we say Baba, oh no, I don't want to be converted to the BKs. You know, I have my own faith. I call God Allah. I call God something else. You know, we get so stuck into words. You know, now you're traveling in any airplane. You want your coffee to be sweet. What do you put in there? You see? Somebody says sugar. Somebody will say sukari. Somebody will say sukra. Somebody will say khand, chini. Does it matter? Does it even matter? As long as my coffee is sweet, I don't care what you say. Yeah? Why do we get so stuck into words? You know? So this is one thing, we do not get stuck here into words. You want to call Allah, just call Allah, it doesn't matter. But at least understand that Allah doesn't punish you. It's a loving Father. It's an ocean of love. You know? So the images which we have added with faith and religion, use the best relationship which suits you the best. Don't get scared, because if you get scared, there's reservations and you will not achieve what you want to achieve. The second step is, in most of the faith, whether it's Christianity or whether it's Hindu, whether it's Buddha, Buddhism, they want moksha. Moksh means to be liberated out of the whole circle or the cycle, which doesn't happen, sorry, whether we like it or not. Remember we talked about the cycle? What is it? Eternal. We can't come out of it. For example, if you're in a skit, an actor, and this is your role, yeah, and suddenly you get unwell, they will replace another actor. And say, alright, now you're not playing the role, let's put another actor, and that person will do your role. But this is the eternal drama, where everything is just a role. To get unwell is also a role. You know? In this limited movies, you know, what they do is, when the actor starts acting a little bit funny, and starts demanding and ask, like soap operas, you know, they would start demanding for more money and be funny, they just put an end to the story and say he died. You know, and then bring another personality in. And then we know this actor must have acted a little bit funny. In the world drama, all that is part of you. To act funny, to die, to get sick, to fight, to win, everything is drama. You see? But you cannot escape. We cannot go. Why? Because remember, in the drama, we have X number of actors. Yeah? Nobody is going to play another person's role. I can't play Mara's role, she can't play my role. We all have our designated eternal roles to play. And not one, many, many. So now let me go to the world cycle again. The whole cycle, according to the message or the, you know, concept, is of 5,000 years. Each quarter divide by 4. 5,000 years divided by 4. So one quarter is 1,250 years. For us to understand, remember, that is our human language. Yeah? But that's the 5,000 years. In the scriptures, it has been mentioned somewhere, some little bit, you know, like in Hinduism they say, 3,000 years before Christ, there was heaven on earth. Not Hinduism, in Christianity. Yeah? Heaven on earth. 3,000 years before Christ. It's 2,000 years since Christ came. Before, so you go back from the quarters, you reach to Golden Age. That's 3,000 years. In Hinduism, it's been said, every kalpa, God comes and creates Golden Age or heaven on earth. Every kalpa. But they've forgotten the duration of kalpa. So if somebody tells you, I'll come every year to see you, but you've forgotten, 1 year is how many months? And how many years? That you've forgotten. So you don't know what 1 year means. You see? So we human beings have forgotten what one kalpa means. Here it's been defined a little bit. Of course you have to go into so much of depth, you know, and so much of details to understand, because of our mind is confused with science, it's been confused with history, it's been confused with religion. There are so many confusions. And in that now, this more. Yeah. So you wonder where we stand and how we understand. So rather, I suggest, rather than going into so much of details, just understand the essence of this whole concept. What does it mean? Yeah, and try to use that essence of the concept rather than going into the details. Because if you go into the detail and say, oh, 5,000 years, but we have seen fossils and we've seen bones and skeletons and all that for millions of years. Where did that millions of years come? How did the anthropologist or the historian bring that figure and year and all that? You can only understand the detail the more you clear your mind and intellect and clean up and create space. And how do you do that is through meditation. So on one side I have meditation, on the other side I have knowledge. So I meditate, I clear my mind. Yesterday Nirmala Didi was talking about clearing the heart and the mind, isn't it? So when I clear and create space, these things start sitting in our system very accurately. So there are many things you can't just understand logically. Yeah? You have to understand it spiritually. The other thing is that I need to come back into the cycle because I need to help others. So a soul from the Golden Age will definitely go to Iron Age. And the soul who is supposed to go to the Iron Age is definitely going to Iron Age. But the whole purpose of both of them to go to Iron Age is very different. Yeah? The soul from the Golden Age going to Iron Age has an attitude or a consciousness, as we say, the policeman is going to the prison and the inmate is going to the prison. Both of them are going to the prison. But the purpose is different, isn't it? One is going for service and duty, which has so much of, you know, pride, dedication, and the other one is going out of compulsion and sorrow, which is humiliated. Same destination, but whole purpose is different. The doctor would say, I go to the hospital. And the patient also says, I go to the hospital. You see? Similarly, the soul who is so elevated spiritually, who's experienced Golden Age, will definitely go through the whole cycle. Yes. But not for sorrow, not to suffer in Iron Age, but to help the ones who are suffering. The whole purpose is of service and dedication. So I don't want to escape and run away and stay in eternity, but I want to go and serve and elevate more souls and enlighten more souls. Did you see the difference? Yeah? Now, how do we choose to go to golden age? Or how do we choose, you know, where I start the journey from? God doesn't do that. God is not unfair that He'll give one son or child to go to golden age and the other one throw into hell to suffer. That's us. It's our own action. See? And remember I told you this is the time you can draw the line of your fortune, you can earn as much as you want, is that little time in the confluence age. Because that's the time when I actually am earning spiritually in the confluence age. A tiny little phase or fraction of the whole cycle. And then slowly, from confluence age, we all return back home. It's a return journey. End of Iron Age and the beginning of Golden Age, return journey. Now I'm going to give you a metaphoric version of it. A father sends his three children to go and play out. But because before sending the children out, the father warns them, don't get dirty, don't hurt one another, and don't fall. Just enjoy. Don't fall. Don't fall down. But enjoy. Yeah? The children are sent out to play. They're playing. They get so, you know, indulged in playing that they don't realize the time. Now it's the time to go back home. But they don't realize that. They're so happy playing. But then in between, they fight, they hurt one another, they fall down, they become dirty, and they don't realize they've done everything what the father told them not to do. Now, the father calls them. It's time, clean yourself up and come back in the house. Because they're so happy, I mean, so busy playing around, that they don't listen to the call of the father. Only one listens to it. So that child stops playing and cleans the self up with a lot of love and returns back home. Other two doesn't. Yeah? So what does the father need to do? Be a little bit stern, you know, the stern eye. And so the second one gets scared with the stern eye and come back inside, clean and come back home. And the third one doesn't even listen that. What happens? I think some of you are fathers and mothers. Yeah? What do you do? Spank. Yeah? Spank them, clean them up, and bring them home. You can't just leave them there. Now, of course, God sent us into this world. This is a playground, a world drama stage. Go, children. But remember, don't fight. Don't eat the forbidden apple. Don't cross the line of Lakshman Rekha. They're all, you know, all faith has little stories. It's metaphors. It's not literally an apple. It's not literally a line crossed here and don't cross it and go on the other side. But it's a metaphor. We were told not to fight, not to be dirty, not to fall. We did everything. From where? From golden age we started playing, silver age we played, and we fell. And we started falling and falling, becoming dirty and hurting one another from copper age till iron age. Now, if I ask you a question here at this point, where do you think we are in the world drama wheel now? What would you tell me? Where are we now? Tell me. Huh? You feel you're in the confluence age? Great, beautiful. Confluence age? Oh. Anybody feels they're in hell? You passed through the hell? The iron age? You've gone through? Yeah? Alright, now let me recompose my question. Where do you think the world is at the moment? Where do you think? Iron age. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at the skyscrapers and look at the phones, you know, and look at the, what you call the, whatever, iPads and communication. In spite of all this facility, we are absolutely in iron age. And planet Earth, Mother Earth, cannot take anything more than what is happening today. That's when we say now, it's high time that we need to transform. So you are passed with honors, because you're sitting right in the confluence age now. So no one said we are in iron age, but yes, the world is in iron age. But you see, even there, remember I told you the father called the children first with a lot of love. Only one listened to that loveful message. So God is telling us, children, consider yourself to be souls, clean yourself up, forget the body consciousness, purify, and let's go home. Return that journey. And I think we're all ready, isn't it? Transformation. Others don't listen. God never shows thine eye. He is our beloved Father. He is the merciful. He is the loving. You know? But it's our own self who suffers. When human beings suffer, they realize, now the only alternative I have, the only alternative I have is to hold on to spirituality. You know, this materialistic gains and identity is not going to help me. I'm suffering there. So we step, you know, and we try to change, but with sorrow. So the first one was out of love. The other one is with sorrow. And the third one is punishment. Supreme Father, lovely Baba, never ever spanks us. But our own actions can really make us suffer. Really suffer. That's when we feel we are punished with our own actions. And then realization comes. But remember, those who have listened to the loveful message, transformed and gone back home, will be honored. The second is out of sorrow. The honor is not there, but they do return back home. And the third one is with a lot of suffering, repentance, and in religions and faith they use funny metaphors, isn't it? They're thrown in hot oil and they're thrown on fire, and things like that, isn't it? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. It's just your own repentance. You repent. That's it. And then you go back home. Now is the time to come back to the golden age, because the world is transformed, you know, cleaned, balanced. You all want to come back, but only those who went with honor and love will first come to golden age, because they earned for it. Remember? They made efforts spiritually. We can't all come to golden age just like that. You have to work for it. And then slowly from golden age to silver age, some would come into silver age. And some will join us into copper and iron. So it's like everybody has their own phase and time and pace. And this is the time to earn for it. So you can't just say, when golden age comes, I will do it. No, you have to do it before that. Preparation is before. Yeah. So this is the world cycle. So, my sister here, you got an answer. We can't run away, we can't escape, we can't, you know, go into eternity, but what we've achieved, we have to come back and share with others. That's real service. Other thing is, you know, at the moment I understand human beings are so tired with life because that soul has gone through the cycle that they feel, oh my God, I'm so tired. I just want to go back and sit there in silence in eternity. You know, I understand. But it's again another metaphor. I'll tell you. You know, when you, let's take a metaphor of a day. That day has become a very busy day for you. You're so tired. You come back home and you tell your people, don't call me for dinner, I don't want to eat. Don't disturb me. I just want to sleep. Alright? You go to your room, lock yourself up, and you sleep. How long are you going to sleep? Tell me. Yeah? You'll sleep for 1 day, 1 night, 2 days, 1 week, 1 month. Yeah? You come to a stage where then you say, oh my God, to stay in bed is so horrible. I want to go back to work. I want to do this. I want to do that. We human beings are made of balance. Silence and action. Peace and love. You see? We are not only peace. At some point, when you stay in the soul world or the peaceful world for a longer time, then you want to go to the world again, into action. And you've not accumulated for that, you cannot go. You see? So let's earn it now and accumulate. And then return back home and come at the correct time to enjoy first and serve later. So the purpose of life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Om Shanti. I was told you can finish the lesson by 12. And I still have a lot to share. But I think this is more than enough for you. It's like, you know, if you go to a party and feel, all right, let me eat up for the whole month. It doesn't work, does it? Yeah? You go to a party, enjoy everything, but not for the whole month. Yes, balance. Yes. All right. So, did I answer your questions? I answered yours. Somebody else was here somewhere who asked. Oh, she asked, yeah. I answered hers straight away, and I answered yours. Great, all right. Anybody else? No? The last thing I would like to add is, we've gone through this cycle many, many times as a soul. As a being, we've gone through this cycle innumerable times, you know? And so, it's interesting, in French, we say déjà vu. Have you heard that? Déjà vu. And it's very interesting that as a child I used to get that experience quite often. I feel I've been there, it's like just a flash, you know? And sometimes I feel I've done this before, or I've met this person and I've never met this person. I've been to this place before, but I've never been there, I know. It's only in this lifetime now. And that's déjà vu. because it's the faint memory of your past cycle and the past cycle. You see? And so we've done that many times. Why we need to understand this is nothing is impossible. We did it in the past, we're going to do it now, we're going to achieve it, and we'll do it again, don't worry. So let me be careful. Now, how does this whole concept of drama works? Here, we feel life is a battlefield, especially Iron Age, isn't it? It's a battlefield. Spiritual life is even more a battlefield, because the world will keep on taking you away from it and say, no, 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 this is not what you need to do. Excuses are there. If you have to go to a party, you will look for the earliest opportunity to run to a party. People will encourage you and say, oh, join me, it's okay, come in my car, I'll give you a ride. Yeah. But if you have to go through a spiritual gathering, then you, oh no, it's raining, it's okay, I don't need to go, I'll go tomorrow, let's see. You know, I am tired. So the world situations will take you away. It's a battle, you know. Now, life is a battle. You're a warrior. It's a metaphor, don't worry. All the weapons, you know, you need weapons to confront, to have victory. The weapons are all my powers, which is within me. All the innate powers and innate values. If I can win the situation patiently or with tolerance, let me do that. If I can win this relationship with unconditional love, let me do that. If I can win this by sacrificing, letting go, let me do that. But of course, sometimes you come to a stage where you feel, oh my God, this is all enough now, I can't do any more. Then you put the shield of drama. The shield of drama. Whatever I did in the past cycle will happen, don't worry. You just sit there, you know, and wait for it to happen rather than getting disheartened and breaking. Put the shield of drama. And then the moment the situation clears, move the shield and start working again. You will compose yourself very beautifully. You're ready to take that situation again. And it works so beautifully. I know this is a little bit too strong, yeah? But if you use it, it becomes so logical. It's very practical. I've had so many experiences where sometimes powers and qualities doesn't work. You just have to put a shield and let it happen. And it happens so beautifully. But then you don't sit with that shield every day and say, all right, if it is in drama, I'll go to work, otherwise I'm sleeping. Yeah? If it is in drama, I'll eat. No, you don't use drama first. Use drama to a stage where you feel enough. I cannot take it anymore. And you will see drama is so wonderful. Om Shanti. Some of them asked my introduction. I am Pratibha, born in Zambia, brought up in Zimbabwe, and living in Kenya, virtually African. I met the Brahma Kumaris 43 years ago when I was in high school. I was born in a Hindu family, but not practicing so much of Hinduism, because my parents could only give me so much. I was educated partly in convent school. So I had little bit of Christian influence on me. And then I was brought up in a Western society, and so I was standing on crossroads where my parents were trying to bring Hinduism and Indian culture into me. being in Africa. My friends were trying to pull me towards Western culture. And my school was trying to convert me to Christianity, to be Christian. And I was wondering at that age, it's my life, and why is people wanting to plan my life? What about me? Where do I stand? I need to choose what I need to do in my life. And that's when I met the Brahma Kumaris. And I feel so lucky and fortunate that the Brahma Kumaris came into my life at the correct time. And I got all my answers, of course, not black and white. I had to work on it. But I felt there is something here. And what attracted me extremely was simplicity. Because I didn't know what simplicity is. It's just words to me. I had no idea what simple life was or simplicity was. And so when I saw the first sister in this dress, I was like, look at her. She's got nothing, but she looks so happy. And I have the fortune of everything, because those who know Africa, we have two different worlds. One is the most luxurious world, and also hardship on the other side, two sides of the coin. So if you're fortunate, then you would have the most luxuries of the world, which I got. And so I was like wondering, how come this lady is so happy in spite of not having anything? And when I understood the whole concept of the Brahma Kumaris, I felt, all right, this is my way. In spite of not understanding simplicity. And when I came to India for my training and all that, I decided to go full time. And it's 39 years ever since I've been just full time with this. I'm based in Nairobi, in the Brahma Kumaris Center. Nairobi is our regional headquarters, and it's a beautiful, beautiful center, and a lot of service going on around the world, which I have the fortune to travel to and do, but of course, based in Nairobi. Om Shanti.